GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a goal. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. Ursula Jacob will be along a little bit later on to chat hurling. But as you can see, Eamon Fitzmaurice is with myself and Rory now to chat football. How are you, Eamon?
Great. How are you doing, guys?
Good. And Rory, you're looking ahead to another great weekend.
Yeah, two gritted teeth are hiding behind the couch on Sunday. Definitely. I know we're drifting onto hurling and we'll talk about it later. But as we're saying off air, they'd hardly manufacture a situation in the Gaelic grounds where West Germany, Austria, 1982 style. But I don't know. I don't know how easy that is to do in hurling. But sure, look, we'll see how it all plays out. It's going to be a good crack.
Ah, yeah, it certainly is. Well, let's start with the football then. Four games: Donegal, Tyrone in Group 3, Dublin, Roscommon in Group 2, Armagh, Westmeath in Group 1, and Loudmeath in Group 4. That big one, Eamon, Donegal, Tyrone, I think it's been earmarked from a long way out once we saw these groups that this was going to be another one. Given what they gave us in that Ulster semi-final, extra time, penalties, all the drama, a real cat and mouse affair that day. Are you expecting something similar this weekend?
Yeah, look, I think it'll be a similar game, to be honest, Jackie. I think it'll be pattern-wise, it'll be probably very similar. That Ulster Championship game, I really enjoyed it. I think, you know, when Tyrone would have looked back in the game afterwards, they would have felt they should have won it in normal time. I think Donegal were the better team in extra time, for sure. But right at the end of the game, Tyrone were a pint up. They had possession of the ball. It was the phase of play where Niall Morgan was walking with the ball in the middle of the field, and it was kind of remarkable that Donegal were a pint down, but they refused to come out of their defensive shape. They forced Tyrone into the mistake. Michael McKernan had a kind of a pot shot that went wide, and from the resulting kick out, then Donegal showed great patience, got up, and they got the score at the end. McCall got the equaliser, but even at that, you would have felt that Niall Morgan, especially considering how well he played that day, he would have dealt a small bit better with the half-blocked shot. So I think when Tyrone would have looked back, they would have felt that they could have and possibly should have won the game that day. And, you know, that if they're in that situation Saturday evening where they're a pint up and Donegal are sitting back, I think they'll hold on to the ball for 5 minutes if they have to and just see the game out and force Donegal out. So it's going to be excellent. I think the approach to the pattern kick out, he didn't play obviously in the last game, and Tyrone had made a decision after seeing Derry's exposure in the first game that they were going to just give up the kick out and sit back in and not allow themselves to be caught. But while it was effective and it nearly won the game for them, I would expect them to maybe mix their approach a small bit, go after the pattern kick out here and there. Especially if there's a bit of a breeze in Ballybuffet when Patton's against the breeze, to go after him a bit, because Armagh did that well in the Ulster final. They were very well set up when they did press the Patton kick out on the few occasions. So I think it'll be worth watching out for that for sure.
I think Tyrone will take an awful lot of confidence from that game though, Rory. You know, Eamon's right, they probably feel they should have won the game. Their under 20s have obviously given them a great boost since then. I think they'll feel they did an awful lot right, and a lot of people are going to expect that Donegal will win this game given the Ballybuffet factor and everything else going on. So I think the opportunity is much greater for Tyrone this weekend.
Very, and they've been very quiet. They've had plenty of time to reflect. This, the last time they've played a championship match, now they're playing the same team again. They were 3 points up at halftime. I thought they played really well. Matty Donnelly, I think, had a huge influence on the game at centre back, but sort of locking down, just a real cuteness to his play. Morgan actually had a free just before on the stroke of halftime to put them 4 points up, and it would have been a long way back, even for a team as resilient and as tough and as patient as Donegal. 4 points in any football match, let alone an Ulster Championship match, would have been a long way back. And also to be a point up going into injury time. And as Eamon correctly pointed out, it was a bit of a fluke, really, the equaliser that they got, and they took it on, and look, and they've gone on since. I think a couple of things for me that stood out in that original fixture. I think Derek Canavan struggled to get into the game at times. He was a little bit locked away in that blanket. He obviously started to drift out. Now he's got that cuteness to do it, but I think it was a sort of a similar role, maybe, Eamon, and I think you were the manager that obviously moved Colm Cooper out to 11 when he was being gobbled up in that sort of spider's web football defensive stuff that was happening at that time.
Yeah, absolutely, Roy. Look, I think with Colm, in fairness, it was probably to give him a look at something different as well. He'd spent a long number of years inside in the corner, getting the head pulled off him by cornerbacks. And it was an opportunity for him to come out and, you know, show his array of passing and vision, which he did at centre forward. And, you know, no better man to conduct a forward line. And for that season in 2013, he was incredible at centre forward, the way that what he brought to the team and the lease of life it gave himself. It was enjoyable night in, night out in training, watching him do his thing. It was fantastic for all of us. But with Dara Canavan, absolute look, I'd expect a reaction from Dara in this game, because he's been having an incredible season. And a thing that he had developed during the league, and I saw him doing it as well in the Sigerson final in Tralee earlier on in the year, was he was when he was kind of being dealt with within that blanket defense, and there was a lot of bodies around and he was getting closely marked, he drifted out the field a bit, and he was excellent at coming with a burst of speed, kind of hitting the D at top pace, timing his run, receiving the pass, and getting the score. He was almost impossible to stop. So we didn't see much of that the last day, but it's almost like he had forgotten about it because he hadn't had to use it for a while. So I'd expect him to see a bit of that again the next day, where he'll come at full speed onto the ball and get a few scores. And, you know, like we were saying earlier on, he's between his dad and the coaching staff in Tyrone. He's good people around him there. He's plenty of advice, yeah. And I'd say if he was short a bit of advice, I'd say his brother Rory would be a good man to give him a bit of advice as well. So he's plenty of people to lean on, but I'd expect a big performance for him this weekend.
He still scored 4 points. Like, I mean, it was it's just, I suppose, sometimes when teams sit so deep, your real quality players can sometimes get lost in that sort of phalanx of bodies. But yeah, it'll be interesting now to see what happens there.
And similar with Darren McCurry as well, Rory, because he had been playing very well as well, but he didn't get much of a look in that game. So again, you'd expect a bit of a reaction from him.
Mm. Do you know, Rory, when we were chatting earlier off air and you were talking about Jim McGuinness and just the character that he is and what he brings to the game, you know, you were sort of likening him to a Jurgen Klopp figure. And I can see that, because he does have that, I don't know, just, there's an aura about him, whatever it is in Donegal football. When you hear stories of players knocking on his door and begging him to come back, I could totally get it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, if you think, I do believe he's the closest we have to a Jurgen Klopp type figure within Gaelic football. Like, if you look at the Liverpool team that went on all those runs under Klopp, they weren't the best team. But I always felt Klopp got probably maybe 15 to 20% more just by his sheer force of personality. He was able to bend the will of a very emotional city almost to his purpose. I mean, you know, look how popular and revered Klopp is on Merseyside. And then you look at the similarities with McGuinness, his oratory skills, the fact the entire county's behind him. Everyone believes in the Jimmy's winning matches mantra. The players fully believe, the supporters are on board, his obsession, the passion he shows on the sideline, his communication skills, his organizational skills, everything about him, motivational. And I think that's why he's such a curious character for loads of people who watch Gaelic football. And I think it's probably why I think Donegal will go on a big, big run again. Now, are they as good in terms of the original Jimmy McGuinness team of 2011 with the Michael Murphys? And I don't believe they are. I think they have some good players. I don't think they're that good. I don't see them winning in All-Ireland. But I definitely think they'll have enough on Saturday, because I just think there'll be a wave of emotion again. Donegal crowd will be in there in massive numbers. They'll be at home. He want to make that a fortress. And yeah, Tyrone will have their work cut out.
Okay, two things on that then, right? One, Eamon, is they don't have to win an All-Ireland this weekend. They can just consistently Correct. Get better and better and better. And then by the end of 2024, we might say they're better than the iteration in 2011, 2012, 2013, because we don't know. The other thing is, how does he do it week on week with this team? Because Jim McGuinness speaks all the time about he wanted to win an Ulster title. He wants to win an All-Ireland title. But this is... it's not a knockout game this weekend. We can have a chat about whether you think there is a knock-on effect of the winner of this game is going to win the group, but this is very different. It's not as emotive as an Ulster final. Can he do that every week with this team?
He can, Jackie. I think there's no off switch there. I think the dial is always set to 100. He said it in his interviews straight away out in the pitch after the Ulster final, that he was kind of asked more or less, what's the secret or what are they doing? And he just said, look, it's every night, it's every session, it's every meeting. I'd say it's every phone call, it's every text message. It's just full on. He complimented the players and how invested they are in it, their families, the sacrifices. He spoke about all those things. So I think with McGuinness, when you're in and that's it. And it's pedal to the metal and there's no backward step. I think, the angle he will have this time is that it's Ballybuffet and it's Tyrone. I think they're the two things that he'll be probably leaning on the last couple of weeks. But it is going to be a challenge, I think, even for him, because of the emotional high of winning the Ulster final. And maybe he expected it, but I'm not sure all of his players would have expected to have done it this year, considering the route they had to come through. Like they mentioned that their focus all season was about Derry, Derry, Derry. And I presume from there they started to believe. So he will be banging on about keeping Ballybuffet the fortress that he made it during his first time in charge. And then as well as that, the fact that it's Tyrone coming to town. But we saw it last year. Derry won the Ulster final. They had really dismantled Monaghan during the course of the Ulster Championship. And then they drew in the first game because, again, that Monaghan were in the long grass, similar to Tyrone this time. And you know, they did require extra time to win that game last time out. So I think it's going to be very close. But with regard to McGuinness, he'll be still banging the drum, Jackie. He certainly won't have slackened this week. And he has all of his players, obviously, but the whole county believing in the gospel according to Jim.
Yeah, well, the gospel according to Jim has been doing all right then. Are they going to be group winners, Rory? Do you see this as a game that the winner of this one wins this group?
Well, you would assume so. Tyrone have been playing at a high level for a good number of years. Donegal obviously came storming out of Division 2 and only went down last year. So in reality, we're a Division 1 side in disguise in Division 2. So the two teams really have been playing at a higher level. If league football is what you take as your barometer, I don't know, for whatever reason, Cork just can't seem to get their heads around league football. I do think Cork are a different proposition in Championship, but I'm not sure, are they at the level just yet to maybe get in amongst those types of teams? But you would never know.
What do you think, Eamon?
I mean, externally, when you look in, you'd say Ballybuffet is a shootout to see who's going to finish top of the group. But I don't see it as simple as that. I think that Cork could have a say in this group, yes. I think he mentioned it on Monday in the podcast that win above in Cusick Park last weekend will have almost liberated Cork, similar to the Louth game last year, that it was just a game they had to win. The recent history was the last-minute goal the previous year. So they would have been very conscious of that. And they kind of tightened up with some of the misses they had. Now, that has been a pattern during the course of the league.
Yeah.
But at the same time, some of the misses, particularly the likes of Brian Hurley missing those frees, that just doesn't happen. He's normally so accurate. So I think they'll feel good having won the game. And traditionally, even going back to when Tyrone were at the peak of their powers in the noughties, Cork always could do a number on them. And the way Cork play in their running game, they'll fancy that game. And then from the Donegal perspective, again, traditionally they'd have a good record and they like playing against Donegal. Donegal having to come all the way down to Cork, on the June weekend. They'll be traveling on Friday, the length of the country. They're, you know, logistically going from Donegal to Cork is a challenge, even in terms of small thing like the bus driver having to take X amount of breaks for X amount of time, and it just delays the journey, and that has to be done. So park you're in that factor as well. So I think that Cork can disrupt that kind of predictable conversation. So we'll see. It could still pan out that it will be kind of a Donegal, Tyrone topping the table, and the Cork and the other side in the preliminary quarter final. But I still give Cork a chance to upset the conversation there a bit.
Yeah, Jackie, I was only thinking there, if John Cleary and Mark Fitzgerald had any cop on, they'd carpool the journey up to Ballybuffet tomorrow and share a few trade secrets. But anyway,
Harry fellas sure. And Cork fellas all the way up to the door. No,
great car mates there. Well, that's group three with Donegal, Tyrone, Cork, Clare. Let's move on to group two then. Mayo obviously already beat Cavan last weekend. Dublin, Roscommon this weekend. When you look back last year, Eamon, on this game between the two, Roscommon put a lot of men behind the ball. They kept Dublin to 1-11. You just wonder, is the confidence there this year to pull out a similar performance, given where both teams are at this point?
Yeah, exactly. Look, this time last year, Roscommon had finished third in Division 1 of the league. They had a bit of momentum. It was the first year of the Davy Burke project. Mark McHugh was involved with them, and by all accounts, he was influential within the group. And they were just going well. And they went up to Dublin with a very, very set plan. And the bodies behind it was one thing, but I think the thing that they struggled to deal with most was the possession-based football that Roscommon did that day. And it kind of surprised Dublin, and they didn't react very well to it. They were off the pace. Bit similar to the way they were in the Leinster final against Louth. So I would expect the fact that that was a thing that they didn't do great against Louth. They were almost getting to the point of contact, but not making contact. I'll be interested to see how they deal with Roscommon this time around. Will they go after them high up the field? Will they push up the field a bit and try and even go after Conor Carroll up there when he's in possession? Or will it be kind of the next pass that they'll go after? But I don't expect Dublin to be as passive this time, to be honest, Jackie. And I think that'll be the deciding of the game. Desi Farrell even mentioned it, that, you know, last year, everyone was trying to learn and figure out the new format and the group games. And a big lesson that was learned last year was the importance of finishing in first position. So I think we'll see a different Dublin, and they would be disappointed with aspects of that Leinster final performance as well.
Can I just ask you on that, though, guys? I last year, the teams that won the quarterfinals, three of the four teams didn't play the week before. Right. And there was much made of the wear and tear. And again, look, I have no clue when it comes to the stress and strains that the physiological toll of playing week on week could take. But could it be the case, Eamon, that you might have a situation this year where three of the four teams that have played the preliminary win, and all of a sudden the narrative changes? Oh, well, we've got momentum. We got momentum by winning games. And like, can you make a definitive call around whether or not that week off is as much of a bonus on the basis of 1 year's assessment?
You can, Rory, but I think there's a couple of factors. I think a Dublin, a Kerry, not sure about too many more. I think they could absorb that extra game because of the strength of their squads and the quality of the players that they have in reserve. I think the second thing is, if you're at home for that preliminary quarterfinal, again, thinking about the likes of a Kerry, Mayo, Galway, Donegal, not having to travel to the other team, I think would be a factor the following weekend. I think the wear and tear of the travel could be more of a factor than the actual game itself. So if you're at home, if you have a home preliminary quarter final, I wouldn't see it as the end of the world as having to play the following weekend. But I think rather than physiologically, it's mentally that if you're playing 3 weeks in a row in more or less knockout championship games, you have to get to a certain pitch that could be challenging for 3 weeks in a row. So no, I think that teams can get through. Monaghan did it last year, and they really put it up to Dublin in the semi-final. So it's possible to do it. But I think in terms of the ideal world, it is easier to get into the quarterfinal because you are kind of tested, you are match ready. You've had three games in the couple of weeks. It's the best of both worlds. But no, I wouldn't see it as the end of the world. I think if you end up in the preliminary quarterfinal, that's the way you're selling it. You're saying, once we win, lads, this is momentum and everything else. But if you were away, if you were a Kerry now and you had to go to Mayo for a preliminary quarterfinal, and then you were going to Dublin the following weekend, having played maybe in Portlaoise the weekend before that, I think that would be challenging, all right.
Okay.
Can I ask you one last question on Group 2 before we move away from it, Eamon? Obviously, the big one is Dublin-Mayo in that group. Still hasn't been decided where they're going to play that game. I see Mayo saying they don't want it to be in Croke Park. If you were in their position, where would you like that to be played?
Where would you like it to be above it?
You enjoyed Limerick. You enjoyed Limerick anyway, yeah. Eamon, didn't you?
Well, we all enjoyed Limerick.
Oh, yeah, what a game. I watched that. Eamon, would you believe it? Sorry, quick story. That famous game in Limerick, I was on a stag in Mayo, and we were in Westport, and there was about 20 Cork lads there, so we were all going down. We were all supporting Mayo, obviously.
I was going to say, you're all shopping for Mayo. Mayo jersey, the Mayo jersey was the attire of the stag.
Oh, but it was extraordinary, because it was such an incredible game of football. And at the end of it, I mean, it really was like a funeral in the whole place. We had to leave. We had to go somewhere else, because they were just like a state of depression. But it was an amazing occasion.
Yeah.
No, I think, look, that was an amazing occasion. And we played Dublin in two quarterfinals in Thurles in 2001. And they were brilliant occasions again, because the Dubs will travel and they'll bring the atmosphere and everything. So either one of those or Tullamore. I'm not sure the capacity of Tullamore, whether it could take the crowd, but a packed Gaelic grounds or a packed Thurles would be some occasion, or even a packed Clonus would be some occasion. So, yeah, it's interesting to see Mayo digging in, and it's kind of, it's what I'd be doing as well. You're trying to equalize it any way you can. And, you know, I'm sure their attitude is, if it was anyone else, they'd be happy playing in Croke Park, but taking the Dubs out of Croke Park is worth a few points, and anything that'll help, you'll do it.
Yeah, definitely. Be interesting to see what happens there. Okay, the other two groups then. In Group 1, you've got Armagh and Westmeath playing this weekend. Galway obviously beating Derry last weekend, Eamon, has kind of thrown this whole thing wide open, which, as you said, Derry, you know, just the big mental load of what happened there. Opportunity maybe for Armagh this weekend to kind of get back on the horse and grab hold of this group?
It is. And I think learning from last year as well, Jackie, will be key to them, because they almost played like a team last year that they were feeling sorry for themselves after the Ulster final, and Westmeath played very well and they nearly beat them above in the athletic ground. So I'd expect a big response from Armagh. And I know there's a lot being made about how do you rise and how do you get up for it again after the disappointment. What else are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Yeah.
Of course you're going to get up for it. That's what everyone that plays football or hurling or any sport does year on year on year. You get over the disappointment, you go as hard as you can again for the next game, and you try and win. So I expect a big performance from Armagh. I expect them to be... I saw Kieran McKeever talking this week, and he was more or less saying, look, we've kind of effectively drawn with the likes of Donegal and Derry over the last couple of years, and everyone's talking them up as All-Ireland contenders, and because we can't get it over the line, we're no hopers. So I'm sure within the group, they will have been obviously disappointed, particularly with not scoring for the last 20 plus minutes of normal time. But at the same time, they'll be fancying that. And then if they can do their business this weekend, they'll be going up to Derry full of confidence, and Derry are in a very strange position at the moment. So it will be, it could set up some cracker above in Celtic Park the June weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And go on, Rory. I was just going to say, I think with Armagh, it's actually like the serial loser tag is just crazy given where they are at the moment.
But I would expect a response from Westmeath as well. I think it's been so long ago because I think it was on the first round. It was the first day championship.
Yeah, maybe, 7th of April.
Maybe go back 7th of April. I was going to say the 7th of April. You're going back that far, which is not actually that far. It's only 6 weeks, but it feels like a lifetime ago. And to get knocked out of the Leinster Championship by Wicklow, no, with all due respect to Wicklow, Westmeath would have considered themselves at a higher level. And I think that will have given they had a fantastic league campaign, they had won Division 3, they've come up Division 2, they've won the Tailteann Cup. Desi's been doing so many good things. They ran Armagh really close last year. They acquitted themselves extremely well, actually, right throughout the round robins. They've got some very good forwards. He will have them in pretty good shape, and I'd expect a response from them too. I don't think this is a gimme for Armagh by any stretch of the imagination, given the slightly delicate mental state they may be in.
Mm. Okay, the last game then in Group 4, you obviously had Kerry beating Monaghan last weekend. Louth and Meath played this weekend. And this one, Eamon, has a feel, whatever about who's going to top groups in different scenarios, you do feel like the winner of this one is going to be the one that gets out of the group.
Yeah. And I think both Louth and Meath will fancy Monaghan as well, Jackie, because Monaghan, you know, that now, in fairness to them, they won the second half last weekend and it'll give them something to hold on to. But they were well off us. They were well off where you'd expect them to be. And all three teams are in Division 2 next year. So there isn't that much between any of the three teams. Louth, I suppose the interesting thing I'd be looking at Louth this weekend is I was at the Leinster final. I was very impressed with them. I thought that their setup was brilliant at containing Dublin and their attitude and everything else. But when it comes to a game that they have a realistic chance of winning, are they going to set up like that? Are they going to set up differently? Are they going to go after the match? If they set up similarly, would it actually suit Meath? They haven't beaten Meath in championship, I think, since 1975, so that's a long time. It's on an Inniskeen. You know, there's a lot of factors. Louth have a bit of momentum, but again, Meath have been kind of sitting in the background waiting for this. So it's going to be a close game. It'll be an interesting game. I give Louth a great chance once they come out and play and they go after the game the way they can, and they did during the league. They got a ball of goals during the league, and they're well able to play offensively as well. And I think, in fairness to Gerard Brennan, that tactical flexibility has been kind of one of the things that they've developed this year. So it'll be interesting to see. And in the league game, it was only that brilliant Matthew Costello goal that kind of separated the teams. So I'd say it's going to be a great game. But again,
and I think they've lost this Jordan Morris gone, Eamon.
He's gone. He's a big loss. Yeah, he's a big loss. And I think Shane Welch is injured again. He's no look. He's out as well. So they are losses. But It is an important game, and it could be the decider of who goes on. But I also think both teams will fancy a cut-off Monaghan in the, just where Monaghan are at the moment.
Mm. Okay, one last thing before we let you go, Eamon, away from the matches on the pitch. One other interesting thing is obviously you're a big part of this football review committee, and there's lots floating around about what might happen, what might not happen. I did hear an interview with Paul Mannion last week talking about he would love to see a change for more scores being given for, like, kicking from, let's say, out the D or you know, like trying to reward scorers for taking on a more risky thing. He also wanted to see maybe 5 points for a goal. What sort of progress are you making on that kind of thing? Because it does seem that there's a lot of chatter about maybe that kind of a change coming into the game.
Yeah, look, there's a lot still on the table, to be honest about it, Jackie. We're still at the kind of stage, I suppose, where we're discussing everything, we're fleshing things out. Jim Gavin has been around to all of the provincial councils, Munster last Tuesday night, and each one of the committee members from the particular province attended those meetings as well, kind of sharing information of where the process is at. The score, the 2 points for a long range score, that's on the table. There's a lot of different things on the table at the moment. I suppose the thing that we're very conscious of as the committee is, you know, that the championships are kind of entering this phase at the moment where it's the real exciting phase, and it's a knockout phase. And the last thing you want to be
distraction.
Doing is distracting teams, players, managers, the supporters. The supporters different because they're always going to be curious about everything that's going on. But certainly for all the teams that are still involved, you don't want this thing to be becoming a distraction. But there's nothing decided. We're very much kind of trying to narrow down, because if we went where we're at the moment, we'd have about 40 different things to try and bring in.
It's a totally different game.
Yeah. So it's in terms of engaging with everyone, filtering it down, and there will be a period of sandboxing, as it's termed, in terms of testing the rule enhancements in a controlled environment, and then making the recommendations at the end of the season for next season. So that's kind of where it's at. But there absolutely are things like that on the table, but we've made no concrete decisions yet. There's still plenty of debating going on within the group ourselves. So like if you can imagine that there's strong debate within the group, we're anticipating what the debate will be like when it all goes out into the public domain.
Yeah. I tell you, Rory, there's a documentary in that, isn't it? A fly on the wall watching all these lads hopping off each other looking for different rules.
And how to get it over the line in the end of it all. I mean, how difficult even it was to try and get the black card over the line. And everybody remembers poor old Eugene McGee, God rest him, and the relief when that actually got over the line. So there's a lot of politicking after you go through all the practicalities. I have to say, though, the scoring one, I like. I think I think because the reason being, I think it should be reasonably simple to implement from junior club all the way up. Because all you're doing is you're effectively either redrawing a line, or you're saying if you kick from outside, a line, then that's worth 2 points. And like, if you take that and you applied it potentially to last week or the week before is Ulster football final. I mean, some of the long range kicking in that, it would be a really interesting, it would be a really interesting test actually to take whatever arc or whatever line and see would it have changed the score by the time we got to the end of it all. But I think that's an exciting one. And I think enhancements is a great word, because I don't know if you need to be messing too much with it either. I think if you can figure out a few tweaks here and there, and if they can be road tested in a good environment to try and make the game a better spectacle and a better game to play. And sure, look, isn't that a good thing?
It is. And you're right, Rory. Like, it is. We're very conscious of that in all of our discussions that, it's great suggesting, the kind of the blue sky thinking. You can suggest all of these things, but you have to either apply it exclusively to an inter-county situation, which happens with some of the rules, or you have to think of the junior B ref who lands on his own after puffing a fag in the car, and he has to go out and referee the game, and he's no linesman, he's no umpires. And
all about him.
Vocal management's on the sideline trying to help him with his decisions and so on. So you do have to think of that referee as well as Croke Park on All Ireland final day. So we're very conscious of that for sure.
Yeah. Well, best of luck with it. We'll leave it there for now and look forward to the games at the weekend. Eamon, thanks a million for being with us.
He hits it! He hits it! It's over the bar!
All right, Ursula is along now to chat hurling. And look, we are going to stick to our promise, Ursula. At long last, we are starting with the Leinster Hurling Championship. And it's great because there's a game on. Every game has something on it this weekend, which is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's brilliant that we still have four teams in contention, for those three spots. And look, I think the Leinster Championship, as we know, probably gets a little bit more of the flack over the last number of years. And obviously everything is so brilliant with the Munster Championship. But I'm happy to report that I think we've probably had the best Leinster Championship in a number of years, where we've had big upsets, lots of shocks, close games, draw games, and loads to look forward to on Sunday. So I just can't wait for Sunday in lots of ways. I think we'll be all keeping an eye, if we're at the matches, keeping an eye on our phones, and we'll probably be having calculators out at some stages as well, because I think these games could possibly go right down to the wire.
Yeah, I remember these even from working on the radio, Rory, similar situation with the last day of the league when all the games are on at the same time. And I remember one of the intercounty managers at the time, Siobhan Madigan, was the reporter at the sideline, and the manager at the time said, "What does that mean?" And she had to tell him, "You're relegated." It was in the league, you know. And so you do have situations like this where on the weekend you're going to have Dublin, Galway, Kilkenny, Wexford, Antrim, Carlow all throwing in at the same time. As Ursula said, you've got things happening where people are in contention to be in the Leinster final, but also somebody's going down, you know. It's just, it's going to be wild on Sunday, isn't it?
It is. Like, there's to be fair, and we should, and you were dead right to say Leinster first up, and I hope Jackie Tyrrell is listening to this.
He'd be delighted with us. Yeah.
Jackie's constantly on our case. Look, I think the unfortunate reality is, I suppose, the crowds haven't been as electric or as big or as colourful as they have been in Munster, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the drama and the quality and the competitive nature has been any less. And look, to go into a weekend whereby two of your fixtures are effectively Leinster semi-finals, all four teams in contention to go through to knockout hurling, and your third fixture is effectively a relegation playoff. I mean, it's fantastic. It really, really is. And like, three incredible games to savour. I'm looking forward to all of them.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's start with your own county, Wexford, then, Ursula. And I think, you know, as they have done in any time they've gone to Nolan Park, they will go there and feel that they can get a result. It's just the Jekyll and Hyde nature of what we've seen from them this year means that you can't have confidence about what they're going to pull out of the bag.
Yeah, and I suppose I think I'm hoping for that little bit more of a consistency. Mm-hmm. The last 2 weeks, we've probably been, you know, looking for those kind of performances against, you know, Galway and Carlow then last week. And if you had said to me probably after we lost to Antrim that we'd be going into this Kilkenny game in quite a good position and in a positive frame of mind as well, because it was looking quite bleak once we had lost to Antrim. But look, the games between Wexford and Kilkenny in the last number of years have just been just frantic. They've been full of drama, full of goals. Like, just, I think there's going to be so much tension there on Sunday, you know. Kilkenny will be feeling a bit kind of annoyed the last couple of years. Wexford have got the upper hand on him. Wexford, you know themselves that if they could get another win against Kilkenny, they're back into a Leinster final, you know, first time since 2019. So Kilkenny won't want to let go of their grip on Leinster either. You know, they want to get back into a final. They're still going for the five in a row, which is hard to believe in lots of ways.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be a really, really enthralling battle. I think we're going to see lots of drama on the pitch. You know, I know Wexford, both teams are named. Even the benches, I find, are quite interesting on both teams. You know, you see that Adrian Mullen's named in the bench. Walter Walsh is there. Will these guys feature? Because Kilkenny probably were lucky to escape that week, you know, Dublin last week. I felt Dublin probably did the better hurling, and still they came away with a loss. And typical Kilkenny, when they needed that score at the right time, the right man stepped up. And Owen Cody, who's supposedly only half fit, ended the game at 1-3. So, like, Wexford's defence will have to be on their toes with the likes of him and TJ Reid. And like, what, like, John Donnelly is playing the best hurling of his life. And we, Wexford, know they won't be able to afford to give him any of that space that he seemed to be able to create last weekend against Dublin, because in a tight pitch like Parnell Park, he still seemed to find himself in the right place at the right time. So I think the matchups are going to be crucial for Wexford.
I think John Donnelly in particular, Rory, has just stepped up in the absence of those. You know, the injury to Owen Cody, Adrian Mullen, I think everybody thought, my God, Kilkenny, what are they going to do? TJ not at 100%, and you're wondering about them. But actually, John Donnelly has been the anchor that has kept Kilkenny in this to the final day.
Hasn't always been first choice either. It's only in the last couple of years, really, where he's established himself in the team. I think, look, to me, from a Kilkenny perspective, they really hit their straps just yet. I'm not entirely sure they have. They weren't particularly impressive against Galway up in Pier Stadium. They obviously put Antrim to the sword, but Antrim really didn't look too interested in that particular fixture because they had targeted the Carlow game or the Wexford game the following week. So I think this weekend, and given the record that they have against Wexford of late in Championship, I think we will probably see a little bit more of the real Kilkenny. We probably need to. Now, they're the only team, from what I can gather, that are absolutely guaranteed across both conferences, a guaranteed knockout hurling, even though they're not guaranteed. They are guaranteed to be in the knockout stages, but not guaranteed to be in a Leinster final.
Yeah.
So look, I think, yeah, to me, it'll be a 50-50. It'll be absolutely 50-50. And like, Ursula, can I ask you, why are Wexford able to raise it so consistently and so well for Kilkenny?
I think it's just that intense rivalry. We seem to savour playing Kilkenny. And we've got so many beatings, I think, from Kilkenny in the last number of years that I think probably in the last 3, 4, 5 years, Wexford nearly have got that belief now that we can bring out that big performance against Kilkenny. Like, even when I look at last year, when we were on the verge of going down to Joe McDonough, and like, most people didn't see the Wexford Kilkenny game because it wasn't televised and it was clashing with all the other championship games. And like, Wexford, their backs were against the wall, and like, it was a 9-goal thriller, like, and somehow we came out on top. And yeah, I don't know, is it the sight of the Kilkenny jersey or whatever it is, but we do seem to raise our performance. It's probably frustrating then when we maybe come up against other teams, we can't bring it up to that level. But Wexford will have to bring their best performance of the year to beat Kilkenny in Nolan Park, because no doubt about it, they are going to have their homework done. And Kilkenny are going to be angry that the last couple of years Wexford have got that upper hand over them.
Mm. It's going to be great crack, lads. I'm looking forward to that one. I think the other one, the Dublin-Kilkenny one, is probably adds 50-50 in a way, Ursula, because it feels like, to me, I thought Dublin should have beaten Kilkenny. I thought they looked like the better team for a lot of places. Just in the last 15 minutes, they lacked that small bit of killer instinct and composure. But I think what Micheál Donoghue has done with this team has been incredible, actually, over the course of, from where they were in the league to where they are now, they look like a different team. But Galway, though, what is going on? Like, when you talk about Kilkenny, Wexford, you're not really sure. Galway, to me, are the greatest enigma in Leinster. I just don't understand what's happening with that team.
And I still believe going into this weekend, we still haven't really seen Galway. We don't know what to make of them. I think there's more questions than answers. Like, besides the fact that Ryan McGarry got sent off for Antrim last week, like, Galway were in trouble. Yeah. They didn't look steady. They looked nervous on the ball. You know, it was good to see the likes of Dottie Burke back in his regular slot of full-back, and Pádraig Mannion at centre-back. But I feel like they're not playing with a huge amount of confidence. I think the body language from the guys, even that day down in Wexford, their body language was off. And I just don't think they've found any real form yet. And I think there's huge question marks. The one thing that I think that will stand to them, they are playing in Galway. I'm not sure Galway are a brilliant, like, travelling team. I don't know, will they have huge support? You know, they'll view that game last week against Kilkenny as a massively missed opportunity. They should have won that game, but they'd be disappointed with how they closed it out. Like, Kilkenny outscored them. I think it was 1-5-3. So, look, there's lots of positives. I definitely think that Dublin are playing that bit more positive hurling this year, especially from where they were in the league. And they'll take, I suppose, they look back at the fixture last year between Dublin and Galway, where they were 12 points up at one stage and somehow let that lead slip. But they know that if they could maybe get that consistency in their performance and get a good start on Galway, Galway could easily, you know, find themselves doubting where they're at, because I don't think Galway are playing with any level of confidence at the moment.
Mm, I agree, Rory. And I also think for Dublin, knowing that they have a shot, they win and they're in a Leinster final. You know, I think there's a massive incentive there for them, which they might not have felt that they would have been in this position on the final day. I'd say they'd love to have been, but I think now that they are there and they're this close to it, it's the perfect position for them to be in.
I think in many ways they've been the story in the Leinster Championship without actually grabbing too many headlines. Because I think going into the Leinster Championship, most people were kind of saying, this is Dublin on the slide. Things haven't been going well across the board. They have been shipping big beatings when they went into league games. They got destroyed by Limerick earlier on in the league.
I was at that game, by the way, and there was...
They looked pitiful.
Nobody there. Yeah. I mean, nobody. But now when you look at what was in Parnell Park at the weekend, different story.
It goes to show. And like, I think, look, there was a plan all along. Maybe Micheál had a plan all along to sort of gear their entire year towards championship. And look, the reality is, judging yourself against Limerick, that's the same for nearly every team. It's a really high bar. But the thing for me that I loved about them and that I'm really starting to admire He's infused a lot of younger players and mostly Northsiders. The Dublin hurling team has traditionally been kind of dominated by Southside clubs, Kilmacud, Ballyboden. But there's a much better sprinkling, a geographical sprinkling. And there's one particular lad who I was very, very impressed with, a chap called Paddy Doyle, played wing back. He's from Naive Baroge. Really solid, strong, you know, made of the right stuff. I think they have a very good defensive look about them now and will get better. I think their big problem is they just lack that extra one or maybe even two. You're still dependent on Donald Burke to rack up 13, 14 points and a clatter of frees. You just don't have that other extra forward. You don't need, I mean, look, some inter-county teams are blessed with 3, 4 and 5 of these. You get away with two, even if you had two, you know, like you'll get away with two if you had them. Dublin really don't have that somebody that you can just take some of the heavy lifting, you know, like, I mean, we saw the goal chance the last day that that Hayes had. You need to be sticking that, you know, you really do. And I think if they can take that execution in the final third to the next level, Dublin are a serious inter-county team. And yep. I think they will. Look, last year they played each other, drew in a round robin. That was obviously in Parnell Park. Their record against Galway generally is good. It's always, but no, this is on TV. It's always dirty. No, yeah. When I mean dirty, I probably should have said physical, but that's a euphemism for dirty, yeah. Right?
Well, in saying that, Rory, I there's think in the fixture, there, it was 4 red cards. And
there's nearly all, there's nearly always someone sent off. So yeah. There will be timber. I don't know. I should have checked. Apologies. I don't know who's the ref. But I think, you know, his cards will be busy and it'll be an interesting encounter. And I would not be surprised to see a draw here.
Yeah. Oh, lads, if it is. God, the calculator's out, Jackie. It'll be flat to the mat. Yeah, exactly. Who knows? Yeah. Well, it depends really on what happens elsewhere. And that's the key thing. The only one that we really know with certainty of winner is up, the other is not. Antrim Carlo. And to me, it's kind of difficult. I have a problem, Ursula, with the relegation system generally here, given that you look at what's been happening in Carlow. I was listening to Paul Cody speaking a couple of weeks ago and just about the development that's been happening. And in a way, you want to give these teams the support to actually thrive and do something here. And then for an Antrim or a Carlow to go back to Joe McDonagh again next year, it just feels counterproductive when we are talking about celebrating hurling, especially given the results that both of these teams have already given us in the Leinster Championship this
and
year.
Especially even more so for Carlow, because they're only up since last year. Exactly. At least Antrim have been there and, you know, a few years now, but it would be a particularly a tough one to take for Carlow, because they've made huge strides. They've built under their Joe McDonagh win last year and they've competed really well despite obviously the loss to Wexford last week, which was a heavy one. And you know, they have a huge trip now up to Antrim, which is, we all know how tough of a place it is to get even a draw there, let alone a win. So the pressure really is on Carlow. But in terms of progressing and these counties progressing, it's of no benefit for them just to drop back down to Joe McDonagh. And I think we'll continue to have this conversation until there's some kind of tweak made, like should they be allowed 2 years up, you know, in at least, because I don't see the benefit of a team yo-yoing up and down. And we've had this, as I'm saying it here now, I feel like I'm repeating myself year on year out that generally, it's maybe the Joe McDonagh champions that will go down the next year. So it's of little use to a Carlow in terms of progressing and developing hurling in the county, or Antrim either, if they go down, and it'll be a huge blow. So there's a huge amount at stake in that game. You know, both teams are coming, you know, off the back of a loss against Galway and Wexford. As I said, you know, Carlow really have to try get their heads around that loss against Wexford. But you would probably expect that Antrim, being it in Corrigan Park, that they should get the win. But again, anything could happen on this day.
Yeah, anything can. Well, just so people have a lie of the land on that table, you've got Kilkenny on top on 6 points, then Wexford, Dublin and Galway on 5 points. Scoring difference could still come into it there. Wexford plus 32, Dublin plus 23 and Galway plus 17. And then Antrim and Carlow for a shootout for the other one. Let's move on to Leinster then, Munster, I should say. And I think, again, Rory, you know, we talk about, Ursula touched on it there, just the drama that we've had every single week with the Munster Championship is the reason why so many people are talking about it. And given this weekend, again, you have it going to the final day, and even a Cork, let's say, who are not playing, are still centrally involved in the whole thing. You know, it's just set up for perfect drama with these two games on Sunday afternoon.
It is. I mean, it's extraordinary, really, what's after happening in both championships. It's, you know, what a day to look forward to. You could have, think about this, the five in a row chasing, six in a row Munster championship chasing, All-Ireland champions could be out come Sunday. Now, I think that's unthinkable. And what's not unthinkable is Cork could be exiting the championship.
Well, that's probably more likely because if a Limerick Waterford draw, which is possible, Cork are gone, which is pretty simple.
The only thing that saves Cork in that scenario is Tipperary, be clear. Yep. I think there are nine different potential outcomes.
Mm. Yeah.
Nine different potential outcomes. And two of those potential outcomes result in Cork exiting the championship and the other seven keep Cork in it. So I was going, well, I'm not a gambling person, but that sounds like pretty good odds. Yeah.
Right? So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. So you're saying there's a chance, dumb and dumber. Yeah. You know?
It's nicely poised though, because I think you knew going into it, like Limerick, I think, you know, if you'd have told them that they were going to come down to the last day fighting for their lives, given how they started it, I don't think any probably would have expected that, Rory.
Definitely not. I think though, the one thing that would kind of like to take the game on its merits. I mean, this is Limerick's first time that we'll have seen them since they were beaten. They don't get beaten that often. I didn't see the team just yet. Is Darrow Donovan, who was rumoured to be back in the mix. I think Mike Casey's rumoured to be back in the mix. I know they obviously won't have Peter, who's a big loss, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's a huge loss for Limerick. Peter Casey, who's one of those classic Limerick forwards who puts a huge shift in defending from the front. I think his loss will be quite acute. Now, look, they've coped with losses before and just as significant players in the past. So that won't unduly bother them, but I do think he is significant. I think though the big thing for me is we heard last week a lot about will Cork be able to come down from the emotional and the mental and the physical fatigue of the victory in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and we saw that they basically surfed that all the way to the full time whistle last Sunday in Thurles. So the flip side to that question I'd ask is, how much mental and physical fatigue will the killer of a defeat in Ennis take out of Waterford? Mm-hmm. And the fact that they now have to raise a major gallop to go into the Gaelic grounds and to actually get a win in a place where I'm not too sure the last time Waterford have gotten a championship win in. So I think it's a big, big challenge for Waterford. Conor Prunty's not back. We've seen their team named last night. So that'll obviously create a bit of a hole at the back. They obviously coughed up some big goal chances. Clare could have had more than the few they got. So, look, it's a big challenge for Waterford. I'm sure they'll rise to it. But on all known form, you couldn't really look past Limerick, could you?
Yeah, and you couldn't, Ursula, because of it's on in Limerick. They're the All-Ireland champions. It's a knockout game. But for the same reason, Waterford have actually had a really good championship. Yeah. And could have found themselves in a Munster final had the result gone, you know? So like, this is a knockout game for them too. And I think they'll come with a lot of confidence.
That's it. And this time last year when the sides met in the opening round, like Waterford were completely written off and they probably had their best performance of the championship where they only lost by 2 points. I suppose the one positive that Davey will take from last week, that despite the fact that Clare went ahead a number of times in the game,
they still fought back.
They still, they didn't let the game get away from them. And in the end, there was only, that bare minimum point separating the side. So I think he definitely will take encouragement from that they didn't falter. They didn't just, their heads didn't go down. They continued to fight, but they'll need every ounce of their fighting spirit here on Sunday, because Limerick, will be annoyed from losing that game too. They've had 2 weeks now to prepare for this game. They conceded 3-28 against Cork. Like, I think the last time they conceded 3 goals was back in 2021. So, like, I feel that Waterford will need goals on Sunday, probably at least 2. Because we know that Limerick will probably score 30 points plus. So I feel that Waterford probably will need at least a couple of goals. But like, Limerick's defence are definitely going to be that little bit more acutely aware of the threat that Watford have, because as I said, they'd be fairly disgusted with conceding that amount of scores against Cork. So they, like they usually do after a loss, or if they're not happy with something, they're usually quite good at recovering and that resilience that we've seen in Limerick. But as you said, it's a huge challenge from Watford, and like Davies no doubt going to be having them in their right frame of mind. But it's that kind of fatigue, as you spoke about, Rory, is the big one for me. It's more the mental fatigue, yeah, even more so than the physical side, because it's such a draining atmosphere when you're playing in a game like that game up in Clare last week, and now you have to get your head around 7 days later that everything weighs on this one game
against Limerick have had 2 weeks.
Like you mentioned Conor Prunty, I think he's such a loss to that defence, because I'm not sure what those four goals have went in last week if Prunty had been on the edge of the square. And like, look at the form of like Seamus Flanagan, a hat-trick 2 weeks ago, like Galan, these guys. Like, so I would worry that Prunty is not there for Watford, because I think he's key to that defence.
I just looked it up there, Rory. 2011, the last time Waterford beat Limerick in the championship. So it's not only that kind of record you're facing, it's also the record that Limerick have in Munster, the record that Limerick have in the All-Ireland. You know, there's just such a weight of factual stats sitting in front of them of the team that they're going up against. I think everybody expects to see something from the All-Ireland champions, because no more than in Leinster, I think we've seen patches of brilliance from Limerick, but it has not been vintage Limerick either this year. And at some point, I think John Kiely's going to want to put his credentials on the line and show people in a knockout game in our backyard, we're here to fight and we're the All-Ireland champions for a reason.
That's a very good point. It hasn't been vintage Limerick. I mean, Clare should have beaten him the first day out. I thought Clare were the better side over the course of the entire game. Bit of a fluky goal from Dermot Burns gets Limerick back into it, and then Clare basically just were rabbit in the headlights and just got completely bamboozled. And the second day out against Tipperary, look, we've seen how poor Tipperary are, unfortunately, so it's very hard to put any real merit or gauge on that. The third day out, okay, they conceded a huge score. Now, they could have, probably, maybe should have still won that game. And I think that speaks largely to their ability to dig out victories when everything else is kind of going against them. And I think that's the mark of champions. Like, they haven't been playing well, or certainly as well as we've seen Limerick playing in the past, yet still managing to, and potentially end up top in this group if they win on Sunday. So like, will the performance come that we've all been expecting? You just don't know. I think the way Limerick have always played, though, Jackie, for me, it's never like, they will always have days where some of the key players may not turn up, but when some of those key players don't turn up, there's other key players that turn. I mean, who would have picked Seamus Flanagan the last day? Seamus Flanagan had lost his place in the previous match, comes in, scores 3-2, like, you know. So there's always somebody that the amount of leaders that they have within the setup, it would always lend itself to the fact that they'll always stick in matches even when things aren't going their way. And I think this Sunday they'll have a massive partisan home support. I'm not entirely sure how many Waterford people will travel up, because they'll be going more in hope than in any real confidence. That'll obviously make a bit of a difference. But you just wouldn't know. I mean, I think Ursula's spot on. Couple of goals. They will need goals, you would feel. Waterford, if they want to try and pull off an unlikely result here, Davey will certainly believe that they can do it. It's just whether or not the players now have the mental, physical fortitude to kind of go after this game, especially given the heartbreak that they suffered last Sunday in Ennis.
Clare in completely different situation, Ursula, because, you know, they'll feel, look, we got away with it in certain aspects last weekend. They come into this game against Tipperary. Everyone is expecting them to give Tipperary an awful hiding, given what happened with them. So I think for them to find themselves in a Munster final if they win this weekend is an interesting position for them to be in, given that they played all the hurling, as Rory said, the first weekend out. They probably should have beaten Limerick. You can imagine the deflation in the county after it all. But at the end of it, they're still going to potentially find themselves in a Munster final, maybe against Limerick again. And I think Brian Lone will be happy enough the way that they've managed to kind of refine form after what must have been a really detrimental blow to their confidence at the start of this.
Yeah, they recovered really, really well from it. And I think they'll take huge confidence from that. And it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of the game last year between Tip and Watford in the final round, where if Tip had won, they were in a Munster final. And somehow Watford produced probably their best performance against the complete odds and got one over on Tipperary. So I think Clare are going to be very conscious that there has to be some sort of fight or Tipperary playing with some sort of pride on Sunday, that they'll have to bring some kind of performance. Like, you know, Brian Lowen is ruthless enough to know that, you know, not you never get anything too easy against Tipperary. Obviously, you know, their form hasn't been anywhere near where it needs to be. But Clare, I think, are there to do a job on Sunday. They want to be, you know, 100% sure that they're in a Munster final, back in another final to win, you know, maybe a potential second cup in the year. But look, they'll be thrilled with the victory last week. You know, even the fact that Tony made an appearance, will we see more of him on Sunday to get a little bit more game time into him? But like the likes of O'Donnell, Peter Duggan, like Mark Rogers, like so many of them stepped up at different stages the last day against Watford when they needed them the most. And I think that's the most encouraging thing for Brian, that with, like, remember, they're doing all of this without Tony, their most influential player. And the fact that they seem to have more options around the field, I think that's really, really key. And that's probably the big difference for me with Clare from the last couple of years. There was probably that over-reliance on Tony in the previous years. Whereas this year, I think if he slots back into the team, he'll be there. He'll have probably that free role like he normally has. But the likes of Aidan McCarthy will continue on the freeze. And I think that eases the pressure on Tony as well.
He might get his place back. Imagine saying that. That was a joke.
That'd be a nice luxury.
Somehow I think he'll make it.
I think he'll be all right. What about Tip though, Rory? Because, you know, Ursula's right. Everybody at some point is like, wouldn't we love to see Tip having a bit of a kick in them? But there's just no evidence of that, which is really, really sad. Like, even when we were chatting to Shane McGrath on Monday, I nearly felt bad asking him about it, because it was like pure and utter shock in the county at what is going on. So there's nothing this weekend to suggest that they could pull a performance out of the bag, much and all as us hurling people would love to see it.
They're like, you just for the sake of Tipperary hurling, there are one or two, we'll say, literally minor green shoots. They obviously won the Munster Minor Championship last Monday night. Monday night, by the way, for a Munster Minor final. Yeah. I know it's an under 17 competition, and I accept that. But a Monday night. Anyway, I think they're in the Munster Championship final tonight against Cork, and that'll be a very, very interesting fixture. They obviously met in a round robin and Tipperary had a good win, so you'd wish Brendan Cummins well, but not too well. But they'll be up against it. That'll be a very, very competitive game. Ben O'Connor has a good team as well, so they could win that as well. And all of a sudden you have a minor and under 20 double at Munster level. But we all know everything is looked at through the prism of your senior team. You can have all this underage stuff as much as you want. It's what's happening at your senior level is pretty much what dominates discussion and defines the narrative. And what's happened with Tipperary this year, nobody knows. There just seems to be a complete and utter malaise. And I think whatever they have, then just whatever they can find, they need to find something, and that needs to pour itself out onto the field. Because the chances are now, Clare will probably bring, I don't know how many Clare will bring. Will they bring 10, 15,000? Will Tipperary have anybody there to support the team on Sunday? You know, like this is where we're at. And the players now, I suppose, it's up to them. It's up to the players and the management to try and restore pride. Well, now that's effectively what they're playing for, but it's a significant thing. It's a significant thing, pride, you know, particularly when it comes to Tipperary jersey and considering what's happened over the last couple of weeks.
It's just sad, Ursula, to be honest, because some of the players that we're talking about are legends of Tipperary hurling, and for some of those to be, I'm not saying they're finishing their careers now, but they're certainly in the twilight of it, for it to be ending like this,
giving great service is
actually really difficult. So like when Rory's talking about pride, yes, that's a huge thing, but it's quite dangerous as well, because you put so much into it saying, oh, it's all about pride, it's all about this, they have to do it. But sometimes, as I said, just the evidence isn't there that they're going to turn this thing around.
And like, confidence obviously seems to be at an all-time low, and you could even see that you know, from the support that was there. I'm still in shock about the support of like Cork v Tip last weekend. Like there seemed to be about a couple of thousand from Tipperary. Like when have we ever seen that in Turles on your home pitch? Like they still, you know, they still effectively were in the championship, and it just, everything just seems to be going at the wayside and things seem to be at an all-time low. And as a hurling person, I find that disappointing because you want the likes of Tipperary there competing. You want them, you know, and you don't want the likes of Noel McGrath or Bonnermar or these guys like retiring on such a low. Like you want to, you know, unfortunately, we don't all get our fairy tale ending where you get to finish up winning an All-Ireland medal. But like to finish, you know, the way the last couple of weeks have gone, it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Yeah. And confidence, as I said, seems to be at an all-time low. And like, I'd be there even imagining what was training like this week in the Tipperary camp. Like you're effectively out of the championship, you know, motivation. The motivation is to, as you said, playing for pride at this stage, to kind of restore some level of pride in the jersey, because there's so many brilliant hurlers, you know, in that Tipperary setup, like Liam Cahill and Mickey Beavens. They didn't just become bad managers overnight, but the worrying thing is they don't seem to have got the best out of this group of players. And that's a real worrying sign that they just seem to completely just have lost every bit of the Tipperary that we associate with with those guys. And that's the disappointing thing. So I'm hoping we'll see some little bit of kick in them on Sunday, because so far there hasn't been anything.
And Jackie, one final point on it. Waterford's victory last year against Tipperary, when they had nothing to play for, it sort of, created a platform and sort of launched them into the new season. So certainly signed off on the last season on a positive note, which kind of gave them something to hope for and a little bit of some tangible evidence. Look, we get everything right. We get our house in order. We're a serious intercounty team and we can actually go and compete here. So I think there are things for Tipperary to play for on Sunday, if nothing, as well as pride, just to bookend the season on a positive note, because you're building immediately for the future.
Well, your optimism is well founded, Rory. I think hurling fans will hope that it comes to fruition on Sunday, because if it does,
and it's live on news now,
games. Yeah, and actually, which is good. I was glad to see that as well, because for sports fans on the weekend, it's going to be a tricky one trying to jump around them all now, that is for sure. But look, we'll leave it there. Ursula, thanks a million for being with us. And to everybody who listens, don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you on Monday, hopefully after another rip-roaring weekend of hurling and football.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road. And that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it.